Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. I'd like to welcome you to episode 262 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? It is December 4th. Happy holidays. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. As I always say, happy whatever gets you to the mall. Even though we don't really go to the mall anymore, right? We buy it online. But whatever, set the holidays. And it's about more than buying. It's about giving and et cetera, et cetera. You know. So let's get into it. One thing I want to say, I had a blast yesterday. I was in church. I was in the church of What's Happening Now, which is a great podcast with my boy Joey Coco Diaz. So look it up. Me and Joey talked about comedy and our early days of comedy and how it related to the Joker movie and all that. I love Joey D. If you're familiar with him, you know he's one of the most raw, honest comics out there. That's what I love about Joey. Joey's raw. There's no filter. He's just going to say what's on his mind. I don't even know if he writes this stuff down or if he just literally, it's the equivalent of freestyling and hip hop and just thinking out loud, whatever it is. I love Uncle Joey. So please check out that podcast. It was a lot of fun to do. Thanksgiving weekend, I was at the Arlington Draft House Comedy Club Theater just outside of D.C. I always have a great time there, and I do that every Thanksgiving. And this year, I got to go to the African-American History Museum while I was in D.C. I'd heard tons about the museum. You probably have, too. It is absolutely fantastic. I am glad it was built. I can't imagine the amount of work it took to get this thing together, the exhibits, the history, the education, the story. It really is something to be experienced. So it's a huge museum. It is, I believe they said, 8 floors. You go in and you go down, you take an elevator or escalators down, and you start 3 floors below the ground. And it starts with the 1400s, the middle passage of bringing the slaves to America. And I started learning right from then. Like, for instance, I didn't know how involved Portugal was in the slave trade. Lots of slaves traded by Portugal. I didn't realize how many slaves were in New York. There were quite a few. Now, a lot of them were domestic and so on. But it was, and you know, here's the thing. I didn't leave angry, right? People talk about that. Some people, you know, joke about that or whatever, but it was informative, but I didn't leave angry. Obviously, the slave trade is, and slavery is a horror, and it's what America was built on. A lot of people are in denial about this, but this is what built the economy of America. It was built on the backs of slave labor, and it started out, yes, there were some indentured servants, but those laws were quickly changed, and the white indentured servants were treated much better than the slaves, and they also had freedom. They worked on contract and got freedom, whereas slavery was made even worse over time, where, you know, you started changing the laws and people born into it, et cetera, et cetera. It was horrible. They explain that. They show, you know, we've seen the slave ships and how densely packed they were. How many people, how many humans died before the trip was even completed. The utter cruelty of it, the cruelty for cruelty's sake, which is truly the horror of it. Very interesting to see Harriet Tubman. I didn't know how small she was because as a historical figure, she's larger than life. But her actual, she was actually a small woman. Again, just very interesting. The Emmett Till exhibit is very moving. Emmett Till, of course, the Chicago teenager who went to Mississippi and was beaten to death, disfigured, horribly, cruelly murdered for supposedly whistling at a white woman. And his mother incredibly, incredibly. The bravery of some people through our histories, the bravery of some of the black people through our history, it is unreal. And the women, unbelievable. She said, leave the casket open because I want them to see what was done to my child. And when you see a picture of this kid, and he was a kid, he was 13, it's inhuman. It is unreal. So there are those exhibits in the museum. They have a train car where you can see what segregated train cars were like. They have the lunch counters from the civil rights movement in the 60s, and it's chronological. On a personal note, a thing I loved seeing my neighborhood, St. Albans, Queens, was shown a woman mowing the lawn in St. Albans, Queens, something I'd done many times in my life. And that was part of the exhibit showing how black people were, our lot in life was improving and getting better through the 60s and 70s. I've always said that I'm amazed that my dad got a house. He bought a house in 1956. Believe me, it was not easy for black people to buy homes at that time. We were still dealing with segregation and redlining and cheating at the banks. People in Chicago know. People in Chicago, black people in Chicago, bought their homes in the 60s, thought they were buying homes, and ended up buying contracts that were a big con, and the realtors and the banks were in on it. You know, so the museum went through that through the 60s and 70s into the 80s. Into the 80s, I loved the hip hop, the start of hip hop. The African American History Museum, I was telling a friend, it has slavery chains and Air Jordans. And I love that. And another favorite exhibit of mine was a banner from Public Enemy, the PE, yes, because hip-hop started in New York, and they had something to say, social change, and telling the story of black life, and Public Enemy, and honestly, their first album, the title of the album says it all, takes a nation of millions to hold us back, and the overall feeling leaving these exhibits, and it goes, the downstairs exhibits work from the Middle Passage to the election of Barack Obama. That's like the last thing you see. And it shows no matter what has been done to black people, African people, African American people, we're still here, we still thrive, we survive, and we've grown. And they touch on other minorities too, the Latinos and Native Americans and things that they went through along with black people. And it does show that some white people were involved in the civil rights movement. Again, it's not an attack. It's not hate. It's information. Fantastic. Well, very well done. Very well done. And I'm glad I went. And it is worth ordering your ticket, getting in line, and going to the museum, because it's something to see. It is something to see, particularly for black people, particularly for African Americans, because, and I've talked with a few people about this. You know, I grew up, I went to school in the 70s, and back then they didn't teach us, you know, real history. We got a blip. We got you know, and slavery has always been glossed over as to the true horror of it and the result of it, the economic result and how it started an economic gap that's never been closed, may never be closed, I don't know, but certainly hasn't been. And that was fantastic. And it's an education that I didn't get as a kid, so I enjoyed that. Now, they also have a reflective area where you could just sit and think about the things you've seen, which is a beautiful area of the museum. I didn't get to do all the upper floors, but I did do the floor of the arts and entertainment, particularly the music. And when you walk in and the first thing you see is Chuck Berry's El Dorado convertible, you know it's going to be pretty cool. And they hit on everything. They've got a replica of Parliament's mothership. They've got the costumes from Earth, Wind, and Fire and Bootsy. They have gospel music. They have, you know, anybody you can imagine in there, from Aretha Franklin, Stevie Wonder, Herbie Hancock, Stanley Clark. Then the names mentioned, they just list all the names involved in his music and creativity and everything we've had. Fantastic. There is a comedy area they touch on, Moms Mabley and Richard Pryor and Flip Wilson and Dick Gregory and, you know, of course, Eddie Murphy, Wanda Sykes, Chris Rock, just so many. Very cool. Very cool. It talks about things within the black community. The paper bag test. Are you lighter than a paper? A lot of people don't know about this, but if you were lighter than a paper bag, lighter brown than a paper bag, you got treated a certain way. You were allowed to go certain places. And if you were darker, you didn't. And it talks about black hair. And oh, man, is that a thing right now? Black hair, black women's hair. I'm going to talk about that briefly in a minute. I had an interesting experience with that. But anyway, African-American History Museum, a big yes. A big yes to that. I really enjoyed it. It's quite an experience and definitely worth your time. Even worth a trip to D.C., I would say. Definitely worth a trip to D.C. I wonder, there are a lot of white people going through the museum. I wonder what it's like for them. There are foreigners to whom it's probably informative and historical, but to white Americans, I wonder what it's like. I honestly have no idea. I don't know if they connect to it. I don't know if they dismiss it, feel guilty. I honestly have no idea. That would be very curious to see what their reaction is. Okay, on this black women's hair thing, I am tired of this. I'm going to give it a quick minute. I'm going to tell you the story, and then I'm going to try to let it die. So Thanksgiving Day, as many of you know, I spend at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. Jamie Masada, the owner, in a fantastically generous gesture every year, it's Thanksgiving and Christmas, serves dinners to the homeless or anyone who doesn't have anywhere to go. The comics, we do the serving. This year, I was on salad. I was serving salad this year. And we have a ball doing it. And we do shows. For them, we do little, you know, each comic does 5 minutes. Everyone's there. You know, Tiffany Haddish was there. Dane Cook was there. Maz Jobrani, Shang Forbes, Dwayne Perkins. All the comics who work the factory show up. It's great. We do it every year. So TMZ was there, and TMZ asked to talk to me. And I've talked to them a number of times. It's TMZ Online, not the TV show, but still TMZ. Thought they'd ask me about Thanksgiving. They asked me about a joke that Jay Leno told about Simon Cowell. And, you know, they said the joke was basically about the Korean. It had to do with Korean stereotype of eating dogs. That's the joke was, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm telling the joke horribly, but basically it was at America's Got Talent. There was a picture of Simon with his dog somehow, and Jay joked, oh, that should be in a Korean restaurant, right? So they asked me, was the joke racist? And I said, no, I don't think the joke's racist. I think the joke's just an old school comedy based on a stereotype. And then they asked me about Gabrielle Union. She was fired from AGT, and they were saying it had to do with this joke. And I said, no, I don't think it had anything to do with this joke. I'd heard that they had problems with Gabrielle. There was something about Gabrielle Union's hair and them not liking it. And I said that, you know, these old white men running studios have to get over this black hair problem, okay? Trust that black women know their hair. They know how their hair should look. They know how much time and effort it takes to do their hair. And just trust them, because you don't know. So I talked about that, and I said, I think the racist thing is a cover story for the network's real reason and problems with Gabrielle Union. Of course, none of that actually made the article. The article was just about my comments regarding the joke and me supporting Jay Leno and saying the joke's not racist. And I'm tired of people attacking comics for doing comedy. It's what we do. So I learned a lesson. I won't be sandbagged like that again by TMZ. Got some negative heat on Twitter. It is what it is. Okay, enough about me. Let's get to it. Who's paying attention? You are. I am. And to tell you the truth, I'm a little bored. So the impeachment carries on. And now they have some legal scholars testifying about the legal process. See, the Republicans, because they can't deny the facts of what happened, and Lord knows they've tried, but we know Trump made this phone call. We know he tried to make a deal with the Ukraine against Joe Biden, et cetera, et cetera. So the Republicans' next strategy is to attack the impeachment process. So now they have legal scholars testifying as to the legality of, the impeachment process and how that works. And the funny thing is listening to some of these congressmen talk high and mighty about history and how history is going to view this and blah, blah, blah. Get over yourselves. History will look at this as, what the hell were we thinking? It's the worst president we ever had. He's in it for himself and for the money. I truly believe he's manipulated by businessmen. We know he's manipulated by Fox News. Going to do a little more about that later. And that's what we're dealing with. I tell you again, if you can sit through these hearings, God bless you. It is a lot of talk, a lot of talk, a lot of talk. He's absolutely guilty. And what's going to happen, I think we already know, because they've said it repeatedly. Department of Justice and the Senate will back Trump, just putting party before country. Okay, they're not going to impeach him regardless of what he's done, whether it's, and there's a difference between illegal and impeachable, and something can be impeachable even if it isn't illegal. He's passed both standards, but we already know, they've already said repeatedly that they're not going to do anything. So he's going to be impeached by the House, and the Senate won't follow through, and he won't be removed from office. Some people think he's going to resign. I really don't. I don't think his ego would allow him to go out like that. But that's what it is. So that's that. Now, the idiot was at another international, it was a summit, and they were, I'll get into the unbelievable idiocy of his comments, the NATO summit in London, but they show Justin Trudeau, Emmanuel Macron, and Boris Johnson literally laughing at Trump, literally world leaders, literally laughing at the ridiculousness of him and what he said. And they talk about being late because of his 40-minute press conference, which was nothing. This is the thing. Trump, it's just words, and they mean nothing. And I'll give you some examples, okay? It's great. So this was an article from CNN of the 33 most outlandish lines from Trump's news conference with Justin Trudeau. I'm not going to go through all of them, but I'll just give you some of them where it's word salad. It's just words coming out of his mouth that mean absolutely nothing. Asked about Iran and the people protesting the government of Iran and what they're going through, okay? And he says, quote, "We support them very, very seriously." What the hell does that mean? How do you support someone seriously? And how do you know you're very, very serious versus just very serious? Climate change. Quote, "I've done many environmental impact statements over my life, and I believe very strongly in very, very crystal clear, clean water and clean air. That's a big part of climate change." Well, no, it's not. It's actually not. It has nothing to do with climate change. That's pollution. Two different things. Continuing, quote, "I also see what's happening with our oceans, where certain countries are dumping unlimited loads of things in it. They float. They tend to float toward the United States. I see that happening, and nobody's ever seen anything like it. It's gotten worse." What? They're floating trash toward the United States, and he sees it. Again, it's just nuclear proliferation, okay? Quote, but we are spending a lot of money on nuclear, and we have new nuclear, and we have tremendous renovations of our oldest capability. We have new nuclear? What does that mean? Once again, quote, we are winning so big. I don't know what that means. What's he winning? On the impeachment, quote, it was a perfect conversation with a very nice gentleman, the president of Ukraine. The conversation was perfect. It was two conversations. They were both perfect. Continuing, quote, they were transcribed. They were both perfect. And this is what you're going to impeach the president of the United States on? Yeah, they were perfect. The judges listened to the conversations and they scored them as perfect. The Ukrainian judge actually gave the conversations a 10 because they were perfect. That you can go on. You can go on. He talks about Adam Schiff being deranged. No, but it's just words that mean nothing. Just now, some of his words do have meaning, and the meaning is not good. So I heard about this, but in reading more about it, it really is horrible. And this is the case of Chief Petty Officer Edward Gallagher, a Navy SEAL, who was charged with war crimes, including murder. So Chief Gallagher, okay, in September 2018, there was an Islamic State fighter who was a captive. Captive described as a scraggly teenager in a tank top, blah, blah, blah. The SEALs gave the captive medical aid. I'm sorry, it was in 2017. And cleared an airway in his throat to help him breathe. Then, without warning, according to colleagues, Gallagher pulled a small hunting knife from a sheath and stabbed him in the neck and killed him. He later posed for a photograph holding the dead captive by his hair, and that's a crime. The Navy said it was a crime. The Navy charged him with a crime. Trump has pardoned this guy. The Secretary of the Navy's been fired over doing this. All the military people at the Pentagon, the chain of command in the Navy, all say this is a crime. This is something we handle with military tribunals, and it's not what we do. Trump, fueled by Fox and Friends, has given this guy a pardon. They were going to take away his Navy SEAL pin. Trump said no, he keeps his Navy SEAL pin, which the other Navy SEALs, and these guys take a lot of pride in what they do. You've seen the movie. You see how hard it is to become a Navy SEAL. And when I say these guys, I mean the guys and women, okay, collective. And this is a tarnish on them. This is a stain on what it is to be a Navy SEAL. And it's unbelievable that he's stepping in a matter he knows nothing about. He doesn't know anything about the military, about what it is to serve, about the pride that these people have in their service, and how one of them doing this is horrible, a stain to all of them. He doesn't know any of that. He knows that Fox and Friends said, this guy, great American, and he did his pardon. And read the article, look it up. It's, again, I'm not going to sit here and read the whole thing to you. There are other cases where they suspect this Gallagher shot civilians. Gallagher definitely wanted to be a badass. He wanted to be a SEAL. He loved the weapons and the whole thing. And of course, he denied any wrongdoing, and he's out now, and he's on the speaker circuit and getting paid probably. Wow. These are the kind of things. See, this is where you know, we look at Trump as a clown, and he is, and we look at him as a buffoon, and he is, and we look at him as an egomaniac, and he is. But this is where it really, the power of the presidency is used, and it's embarrassing. It's horrible. You go to a NATO summit, you embarrass the United States at a NATO summit to the point that other world leaders are literally laughing at you. You get involved in something like this in the Navy chain of command where you know nothing about how this works, and you pardon this guy because you saw it on TV. This is what the presidency really is, and he's destroying it. And they talk about history. I hope we can clean this up. I've said it before, I say it again. Good luck, millennials, because this is going to come back on you. You got to clean up a mess, and it's real. Getting to the election, 2020, Kamala Harris is out. She said that she couldn't sustain the campaign, not enough money. The shame in campaigning is it's really like golf. If you ever watch golf, golf is scored by money winners. The leading money winner is number one on the tour, and so on. And it's a shame that our politics work the same way. If you don't raise enough money, you can't be in the game. You can't be in the election. So Kamala Harris hasn't raised enough money, and her campaign is shutting down. There have been a couple other smaller ones, other candidates who've shut down, and I don't know. I don't know who's going to win. I don't know who the nominee is going to be in 2020. I was asked yesterday, and I still think, unfortunately, that Trump's going to win. You got a lot to go against to beat Trump, because you have to not just win the election, you have to beat the Electoral College, you have to beat the Department of Justice, and so on and so forth, that are helping him. You have to beat a Senate that's doing everything possible to stop people from voting, stop Democrats. You have to, so many Republicans work so hard on making sure that minorities don't vote, that marginalized people don't vote, because these people tend to vote Democratic. So you're against all of that. Right now, for the Democrats, depending on what poll, it's either Biden or Bernie up front. Pete's doing all right. Mayor Pete Buttigieg, I don't know how to say his name because I don't care. I don't like him as a candidate. I don't trust him. And he's certainly not a good candidate for African-American people. I do like Elizabeth Warren. I don't think the United States will elect a woman. I truly don't. Now, I could be wrong. I was wrong in the elections that just passed. There were some Democrats elected where I didn't think they could be. So maybe we have learned since 2016, and maybe a woman has a real chance. I don't know. I think it's going to be Biden, and I'd be okay with that. And again, not my first choice, but whoever the Democratic candidate is, that's who I'm going to vote for. I'm going to support the Democrats in 2020. Okay, enough of all of that. Now, let's get to the real thing. It's Christmas. Gentlemen, if you are listening, do not buy your woman a Peloton bike for Christmas. We've all seen this commercial. This commercial is getting spoofed and skewered. I've been joking about it for a while. Apparently, I'm not the only one. The woman on this Peloton commercial looks terrified. She was already in shape. She's already thin. She's in good shape. So she gets a Peloton bike. This was last Christmas, and she looked terrified. She was afraid of the bike. She was afraid of the classes, but she did the classes, and she's been training all year, and it's a year later, and she's happy, still somewhat terrified, and her lazy-ass husband probably hasn't gotten off the couch in that entire year that she's been pedaling. So people are just tearing this commercial apart. But guys, here's the thing. Don't get your woman an exercise bike for Christmas. Is that what you really? Is that what you think? Baby, I've been with you all year. I've been looking at you, and this is what I think you need, an exercise bike. And if you watch a commercial, you get up at 5, 6 a.m. and get to pedaling. Me, I'll be sleeping in. And then maybe if you do right, next year I'll get you a Buick. Yeah, they still have the commercials with cars with a bow on them. Get her a Buick. Get her a Lexus. Don't get her an exercise bike. I'm just saying. Hell, go to Jared's. Matter of fact, if you get her an exercise bike, you're going to end up going to Jared's anyway. So, Merry Christmas. Happy Holidays. Take a break from the news. Watch some news. Take a break from the news. I am back on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. I will be on this weekend. I am going to be, that's, I believe, Saturday the 8th. I'm going to be in La Jolla this weekend at the Comedy Store. Had a bad experience down there last year. Had nothing to do with the Comedy Store. Had to do with local merchants not exactly welcoming me, a jewelry store in La Jolla, where I wanted to look at a watch. But I'm letting it go. Forget it. It's done. And then I'm going to be at Grand Rapids the weekend of December 21st. In between that, December 10th and 11th, I'm going to be at one of my favorite clubs, the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa. So I got that going for me. I will see you out there. I'll be funny. Again, listen to The Church of What's Happening Now, where I joined Joey Coco Diaz, because I love doing that podcast. And you're listening to mine, so no sense hyping this. And you also got to remember, I'm still on Fear Not, so don't fear the Fear Not podcast. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts. This is Alonzo Bowden. Thank you. If you subscribe to my newsletter, we had some glitches with the MailChimp system last month. Couldn't get them out. I'm going to get a December newsletter out, or at least I'm going to try. Thank you.